Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. We can only touch the surface as to what Paul has to say right here. The beginning of chapter 5 begins a new section in the book of Romans. In the early part of the book of Romans, Paul lays the groundwork for his great theme of justification by faith. And we see that theme in the very first chapter, in verses 16 and 17, the just shall live by faith. And Paul explores this great theme by first of all laying out the need of us all to be right with God. And he declares us all sinners. Now that's a great message, right? That we are all sinners. And it really is a great message. It's the message of the Bible, and he lays out the fact that the Gentiles are sinners and the Jewish people are sinners, and that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that there's only one way that we may be right with God, that's through Jesus Christ, by grace through faith. And Paul explores all of this in the first four chapters of Romans, and you'll notice that the fifth chapter begins with that great word, therefore. Therefore, considering everything that has gone before, this fact that we're sinners and that salvation is only by grace through faith, because this is the case, therefore, Paul says, and he launches into another section of his book to talk about the results of this tremendous doctrine of justification by faith. What it means to be right with God. And that's exactly where he is at the beginning of chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the tremendous truth that he is laying before us in Romans 5. And I think needs our attention this morning. And as Paul talks about this, he talks about the fact that we have great hope in God, and he also talks about the love of God, and these two themes are intertwined. He lays out our hope in God in the second verse, and then he moves to the fact that sometimes we have tribulation, but in the same way that we exalt in the glory of God, the hope of the glory of God, we exalt in our tribulation. That's an interesting concept. And he lays that out for us. And he says that that all comes back to the idea of hope, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And the hope that we have cannot be taken away from us. And all of that is rooted in the fact of what Jesus has done. That's what Paul tells us next in Romans chapter 5. And Paul demonstrates that for us and lays it out for us. And finally, he comes back to this theme in verse 11 of the exaltation that we ought to experience because of God and what God has done. So given just that brief outline of what we're looking at, let's launch into this particular chapter and see what Paul has to say in a little bit more detail. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, part of the problem that humanity is faced with is that individuals are not at peace with God. And we know, those of us who are here this morning, understand that that's the case. And it's a tremendous thing when we move out of the category of those who are enemies of God into the category of those who are at peace with God. And if you are right with God through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, you are at peace with Him. Therefore, having been justified, having come into a status of right standing before God, you are at peace with Him.
thank you, Lord, that that is the case. And it is by grace through faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, that's not something we work up ourselves. In fact, I think the best definition of faith is this. It is a recognition of our emptiness. That faith is a recognition of our emptiness. And so we come to God, recognizing our emptiness and saying, I need Jesus. And having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The second verse says, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We're not in a position any longer. The position of the world is the position of trying to prove something to others, trying to prove something to God, of saying to God, yes, I'm worthy to get into your heaven. And it's pretty standard stuff that if you ask an unbeliever, why would God let you into his heaven, that they would say, well, I'm not so bad. And there's the underlying concept of works. And we would say, no, we're empty. And God is gracious. And we come to God with our emptiness. And it's because we acknowledge our emptiness and we know our emptiness and we cast ourselves on the mercy of God that there's all the difference in the world. And God is gracious. Does He owe us anything? Absolutely not. Doesn't owe me a thing. And He doesn't owe you anything either. He owes us nothing. We're empty, and God is gracious. And because He's gracious, we have peace with Him. And all we can say, friends, is thank you. That's all we can say. And I think that's what Paul's telling us. And at the end of verse 2, he says, we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Because of God's grace, we have hope and we exalt. We talk about it. And really the root word there is we boast in it. Got to be careful here now, don't we? Because as Paul says in another place, he boasts in the glory of God, the grace of God, and not in himself. And why do we have hope? Why do we look forward to a life with God in eternity forever? Why do we look forward to the resurrection of the dead? Why do we look forward to the time when Christ will come a second time in glory and these weak and feeble bodies will be set aside and will be given new bodies? It's because of the grace of God. And we can boast in the grace of God. We can exalt in the hope of the glory of God, which will be revealed in the end. And that's our ground. And I submit to you that we ought to be very hopeful people. And too often Christians do not present themselves to the watching world as hopeful people. Do you remember what Peter says in the third chapter of 1 Peter? Be always ready to give an account to those who ask you concerning, what? The hope that is within you. And so people should view Christians as very hopeful individuals, and therefore you should also have encounters where people ask you about your hope. And that's part of the gospel. That's part of the gospel construction. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Now Paul throws us a curveball, as it were, here. Look at verse 3. And not only this, we also exalt in our tribulations. See, we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And Paul says we also exalt in our tribulations. How many of you boast in your tribulations as much as you boast in the hope that God has given you? Well, maybe I ought to frame the question a little differently. Because often what happens is this. Has this occurred in your life? I was at coffee in Sterling, Kansas the other morning, and I was dunking my donut so it'd be nice and soft, and I was doing that because I had some oral surgery here not too long ago, and soup is good. soft foods are good. And so I'd mentioned this, and the fellow across the table launches into about a 20-minute dissertation on his troubles and tribulations with some oral difficulties over the last 20 years. And he was going to outdo me. He was boasting, I think, in his tribulation. Now, often we will do that, but that's not what Paul is talking about here. Notice what Paul says. And not only this, we also exalt in our tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What is the trial to do? The trial is designed by God to produce within us a patient perseverance in which our character as Christians is proved. And the result of that is that we understand more deeply the hope which God has given us. And we know that hope more thoroughly because it is a tangible display of the fact that God really has put His Holy Spirit in us. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And if you have hope, the only place that hope can come from is God and by the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart. And so the trial is meant to bring you to the place where you understand that hope more thoroughly and grasp it more thoroughly. And that's why Paul says we exalt in our tribulations. Not so we can compare ourselves with one another, but so that we can understand the hope of God more fully. And what is that hope built on? What is that work of the Holy Spirit built on? What is all of this built on? Well, Paul tells us in the next verses. Verses 6, 7, and 8. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. What's everything built on? The work of Christ and what Christ has done.
Everything finds its foundation there. For while we were still helpless, unable to do anything, weak, at the right time, at the fullness of time, Christ died. And who did He die for? For the ungodly. And for sinners. See, this is why Paul spends so much time in Romans talking about the sinfulness of humanity. Because Christ died for the ungodly. And sometimes it's hard for us to reckon with that. and is hard for us to reckon with, our own helplessness and our own weakness. And Paul makes an interesting comparison here. He says in verse 7, "For one will hardly die for a righteous man." And I think you understand perhaps what Paul is talking about here. From the world's perspective, would you go into a burning building and give up your life for someone who considers themselves to be self-righteous and upright? And you think to yourself, who in the world are they? Who do they think they are? That's the kind of thing Paul is getting at. A good man you might go into that burning building for. And I remember a story that General Norman Schwarzkopf told when he was, I think this was in Vietnam, where when he was a junior officer, he went out into a minefield to rescue one of his enlisted men, to guide them back through that minefield. And thus he saved this enlisted man's life. For a good man, we might give up our lives. And the contrast that Paul lays out here is sinners. Well, they're not worth much. We'll expend lots of energy to rescue a family member of the President of the United States. They're worth something. But what about sinners? And that's the confounding thing about the work of Christ. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No value from a worldly perspective, from a human perspective. Sinners. And Christ died for us in our place. And He demonstrates His love for us in this act on the cross, in dying in our place. And so everything is built upon that work of Jesus Christ and what Christ has done. We're justified and have peace with God. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And we exalt also in our tribulations because we know that God takes us through those times to prove to us the depth of that hope and the fact that we are possessors of the Holy Spirit. And the foundation is this work of Jesus Christ on the cross on our behalf. And since this is the case, verse 9, much more then, Paul says. So you wonder how you could have more. You wonder how there could be more. Much more then, Paul says, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Much more, being at peace with God and enjoying the benefits of the Holy Spirit today and enjoying a great hope today. There's more to come. On the negative side, we are spared the wrath which will inevitably come. You know, folks don't like to talk about that too much today. My wife teaches at Sterling College in the religion and philosophy department. And in one of her classes, she has the students do a little word study on the word hell. That's a great word study. And she says that one of the astounding things that the students learn is that 3/4 of the references to hell come from the lips of Jesus. And that really is astounding. And we need to understand that that's the case. And we need to understand that sin has consequences, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And because we have peace with God, we are spared the wrath to come. This is what Paul tells us. And not only so, Paul says in verse 10, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." There's not only the negative side, but having been reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because Christ was raised again from the dead, and Jesus Christ lives evermore at the right hand of God the Father, we also shall be raised from the dead. And we who trust Jesus Christ will be in heaven forever in the body, and we will enjoy that ineffable grace forever in heaven. We will be saved by His life, by the fact that He lives. And so what is the end result? It has to once again be exaltation. And not only this, we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. You see, there's only one thing that ought to be on our hearts when we understand that God has loved us with an everlasting love, that He has brought us into fellowship with His Son, that His Son died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty due to us for our sins, and that He has given us the blessed Holy Spirit and poured His love out in our hearts. There's only one thing that we can do, is lift our hearts to God in exaltation and give Him praise and say, "Thank You, Lord, for what You have done. I am undeserving. I have no merit within myself. And there is nothing that calls You to come to me and grant me Your grace, but Your love. And I say in response, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as He chose us from the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. I exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And I exalt, yes, in those times of tribulation that prove the character of God's love toward me. And I exalt in Jesus Christ, the Lord, because of His grace toward me." And isn't that what it all comes down to? As Paul says in that final verse in our text, verse 11, "And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation." Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, blessed Holy Spirit, for Your work on our behalf. Let's pray together. Father, give us hope. Pour Your love out in our hearts. cause us to see that demonstration of your love. And grant, O God, that we would exalt in you and boast in you and love you. Work it in us, Father, for we are indeed needy and we are before you, yes, seeking your face, that you would indeed do the work in us. So needed. So needed. Bless us, we pray, in the ways we've discussed in this particular text, we ask. In the name of Jesus. Amen.